we've got to look at workforce models that would enhance clinical capacity without necessarily looking at more GPs, although we do, as I say, need more GPs, such as medical assistants, physician associates, and these new roles that are being created. So it's all very well, and you know, we can and should talk about increasing the number of GPs, but that has to be part of a wider narrative that looks at the primary care workforce in the round. So nurses, allied health professionals, pharmacists, physiotherapists, and so on. So Health Education England has been working with the Royal College of GPs and others to provide greater confidence to the profession that these new and tangibly different approaches are being taken to address the current pressures. And to encourage professional leaders to play a more active role in addressing these problems by looking at how to improve training fill rates. A lot of this depends on perceptions of general practice. The more people start sort of moaning about how difficult it is to be a GP, the more you'll put off aspiring young doctors. So my message to the Royal College, which I will give later today, is very gently to say, let's have a narrative that says general practice is one of the most rewarding careers you can have in medicine, and this is a solvable problem. The strains in general practice are a solvable problem. We've got to look at deprived areas and rural areas, I think, in a new way, because they have suffered, some of them, in terms of the resource, the GP resource that is available to them, and outcomes have suffered commensurately. Based on Health Education England's baseline, investment in training places by 2020 will provide an additional 4,900 GPs. That's the course that we're set on. It may be slightly more. But our ambition is to increase the workforce in primary care in the round by at least 10,000, including those 4,900 GPs.